Hey, what's up, game heads, and welcome to episode 19 of Glitch Therapy. As always, I'm your host, Ramondo Burnside, and with me...
How's it going, everybody? This is Joel Gao speaking.
Hey, this is Noah O'Toole.
What's up, guys? This is Jose. Not saying my last name.
Okay. Why are you going to point it out like that?
What? I said your last name.
Weirdo.
I was like, not saying mine.
Okay, well, you know, that's fine. Thanks for joining us on episode 19. As always, we are ready to talk about some video games. E3 just finished. So during this episode, we're going to break down E3 and all its glory. I know we did a light dive into it last week as we're talking about some of the other games that came out and whatnot, but I think we're going to go ahead and just do a deep dive on it this week. Joel's back with us as well, so I think we should definitely give E3 its due now that it's over. It ended last week. So I know you guys are probably still reeling about some of the stuff that came out, and we talked about a little bit about the excitement that we all had about E3. Are you guys you ready? For some stuff to start dropping or what?
Hell yeah.
I'm not fully aware yet that all this stuff is coming out yet, so I'm kind of excited, but at the same time scared because my bank account is going to be dead.
Your wallet's scared.
Yeah, my wallet is scared.
Yeah. It's all still a long way off, though, so I'm trying not to get too overly excited for something that's quite a ways away yet.
Yeah,
PlayStation 4 games are like 2018, a lot of them, so yeah. There's a few coming out this year.
Yeah, there's still plenty of games I'm still playing here. So
right.
Plus, all these games are just piling up. It's exciting, but at the same time, it's way overwhelming. But
yeah,
excitement's more.
I can definitely understand like the cautious attitude towards it. There have been E3 nightmares before where the games have been announced and it's like, oh, it's coming soon, and then like it gets pushed back before you know it. It's like pushed back a year, 2 years. And then it doesn't come out for a long time. Last Guardian, come on.
Yeah.
We saw that years ago, and it just recently came out. And
true story.
Even then, it wasn't super polished like we were all expecting it to be for a game that was in development for almost 10 years. Or was it 10 years? I believe it was 10.
Beyond Good and Evil, too. They announced it in 06, and it never came out.
Yeah, there you go.
Now they announced it again.
Yeah.
Take
your pick, I guess. Noah makes a good point there. But I think part of that's just hard. It's hard to separate, your excitement from common sense and just, using that whole thing where it's like,
What's vaporware? What are we going to wait 3 years for?
Right.
It's like,
do you even vape, bro? Come on. Oh, yeah, you do.
What?
Yeah.
You are terrible today. I don't understand. But
vapeware.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's vape. There you go.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get any of it. But what I do get is that I saw a game that made me extremely excited. I know we're not going in any particular order, talking about any particular, publisher or anything like that. But when I saw that Shadow of the Colossus remake was coming,
oh hell yeah!
I lost my mind.
Scream like a little girl.
I screamed like a little bitch. It was awesome. I was like, yes, one of my favorite games of all time is coming.
I talked to you about trying that game out, but I haven't had the opportunity. What game? What system was it for?
PlayStation.
Yeah, PlayStation. Yeah, I was not going.
PlayStation 2, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I was not going back to play PS2 to play that game. So I was hoping it.
I don't recommend it either.
So I'm glad that's coming out for the PS4 now.
Glad they're remaking it.
That's
it looks really good from what they showed.
Yeah, they did a PS3. It wasn't a remake or anything like that. I think it was just like a bundle, which was ICO, and that to put together for PS3.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Back on the PS3 or whatever. And I bought that and played the hell out of it. And eventually when I traded my PS3 in, I got rid of it. But it'd be nice to get like a HD, like current gen system update of it and play it again. Oh, so good.
Hell yeah. Hopefully they modernize the controls and everything too.
So. I would assume so.
Yeah.
I'm sure if it's a remake, it will be.
Yeah. I think we talked about some of this stuff before, so we might retread some things. So I do apologize, listeners, if you did listen last week and we talked about some of this stuff. But we're going to talk about probably more of what we talked about last week and then some. So definitely bear with us. Noah, what game besides Metroid Prime 4 are you excited for, my friend? I know you made it clear last week about Metroid Prime 4, and I'm excited for that one, too.
Well, yeah, that'll be fun. I don't know. There's a bunch of them out. It's hard to pick which one I'm most excited about. Probably Anthem.
Yes.
Well, at least that looks the most really promising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kicked out for that.
Yeah, yeah. That could be some good co-op, fun right there.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be like Destiny, but more RPG stuff and MMO.
Yeah,
more of an MMO.
What aspect of that game though would you say excites you the most though, guys?
Part of it is kind of looks like, you know, everything that I'd hoped Destiny would be when it came out. And the graphics just look sick. I couldn't even believe it. And the kind of almost looks like a cross with Evolve, you know, just being on this world with its own flora and fauna and just really alive. And the way the characters communicated, and you could drop in and out of co-op and single play. It all just looked really, really promising.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Yeah.
I was amazed by that.
I think one of the most impressive things about that game was the fact that there was like so many unscripted moments. So as they're flying around and floating in their mech or whatever you want to call it.
It's called a javelin.
A javelin. Thank you
for
that.
Yes,
But as they're floating around and flying in their javelins, you know, you see different beasts down below fighting each other and stuff, and you can engage that or just bypass it altogether. I mean,
apparently like a lot of quick time events or what do you call them? Like that kind of Destiny was saying they were going to have a bunch of them, and I played a lot of Destiny, but I only ran into a couple things. And when you did, that people were able to data mine when and where they were going to be, and it just kind of lost the spontaneity, you know, that you were hoping for. So
true. I don't think they knew what the word spontaneous was.
I guess not.
Once you played it enough, you're like,
it's already. It was all right. Yeah,
a lot of rinse and repeat with that.
Yeah, so. I like how you can fly around. It's almost like you're Iron Man. You know, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, their mech suits look a lot like Iron Man, and
you can customize them too. I mean, if you want to be like a heavy and come in like looking like an Incredible Hulk in an Iron Man suit kind of thing. Yeah, you can kind of do your thing there and customize it.
Were there four different classes? I can't remember. There's at least a handful of different
three
classes.
Yeah. I want to say like four or five maybe.
So there's a tank. There's the ranger.
Assault, I think.
Yeah. So probably like four.
I think the main one was like more of a jack of all.
Like a ranger type thing.
Ranger
thing.
Jack
of none.
Yeah, that's going to be me.
Jack off all trades.
Yeah. But yeah, it looked pretty good, man, and I'm super excited for that game. Now that one's going to be Xbox exclusive, right? Or is that going to be cross console?
I thought that was across all the consoles.
I think it goes
Xbox and
PS4
PlayStation.
And PlayStation and PC.
PC, okay. Yeah, I didn't think Switch would get that one, of course.
Yeah, Switch is
because it's EA, so I think it's for both.
Right. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Definitely. You'll get 4K on it though on the new Xbox One X for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it goes on the Pro.
Right.
Yeah, I was looking at it. It looks more like Iron Man meets Halo with Destiny and Evolve.
Yeah.
So all that mixed in, it'll be a good game.
It's just not a bad
hopefully they don't dumb it down like they did with like I said last podcast. They don't dumb it down like they did to Division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that game pretty much got ruined. It got glitches everywhere. They were just bugs. And then the graphics
it's not Ubisoft, so maybe that will help.
Probably, yeah. That was one reason.
Well,
but then again, look at what BioWare released more recently, full of bugs. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I understand that their better team was working on this while their secondary team was working on Mass Effect. So
true.
So we're probably getting better attention for this one.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like I think it'll be fine. Hopefully more developers are taking the nod and just finishing stuff. Like, just get it done. I mean, like we talked about last episode, we're going the way of putting unfinished products out there, 80% done, 85% done, 90% done, and then packaging it up later and polishing it up and putting day one patches on it. So hopefully they just take their time. If we got to wait an extra year, 6 months, whatever the case may be, I'd rather get an awesome, complete game rather than something that's not complete. Needs a lot of maintenance and all that stuff.
Especially for people who have bad connections and can't and have limited amounts of data they can download. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It'd be nice to have a complete game.
True. So that one definitely piqued my interest along with Metroid Prime 4. Another one that I think we should definitely talk about, and this is more of an indie title that I got really excited for, was The Artful Escape of Francis Vendetti. Did you guys check that one out at all? It's kind of like a really... I can't think of how I want to describe it. It was like just... a really trippy dream with a lot of neon lights and the guys right. like hitting guitar riffs and and yeah, like guitar battles, and the soundtrack was like something that the Wild Stallions probably would play, is the best description I've been seeing nice. Around online.
I missed that one.
Yeah, it's that scrolling platforming and all that. I mean, it just looked really, really, really cool, really different.
I missed right. that one.
I don't know. It kind of reminded me of like a really bright version of like, what's the one coming out with Harrison Ford and...
Blade Runner.
Thank you. Yeah. Why could I think of Blade Runner? It's one of my favorite
movies. Blade Runner 20.
Thank you.
2020.
Yeah, it's kind of like a
or
yeah,
2040 something.
It's like a really quirky indie neon version of like Blade Runner or something, man. Cyberpunk. It looks so cool. Yeah, check it out. Keep your eye out for that one. I think
yeah, I missed
like
that.
It.
I'll probably check it out once we finish. I'll actually, check it out right now.
A nice tender morsel. I think you'll enjoy.
Don't make those words don't match, dude.
Yeah, they do. Tender morsel.
Not with the game.
Yeah, it is.
It's a tender morsel game.
It's out there, and I'm rolling with it.
God damn it.
So bad.
Anybody else have some any awesome games that just as soon as you saw, you're like, what?
Assassin's what? Creed.
Oh, I knew you had that one in the back pocket.
Hell
that one,
yeah.
That one looks good.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to go for the deluxe version, pre-order that.
Nice. I like the setting. Yeah. Really cool.
That's definitely, it's the highest selling point for me is the ancient Egypt, because that's just cool as hell. I love it. Yeah.
They finally listened to... Well, I think one of the fans' main,
like most settings
wanted,
or
yeah,
whatever.
It was
yeah,
the three top fan picks. They wanted China, World War II, and pseudo Japan. I think.
Yeah, like feudal
Japan.
Yeah,
feudal
cool. Japan.
Sort of Japan, sort of not.
Sort of
just pseudo Japan. You know,
right.
I could imagine
like with the ninjas and samurai. Yeah, that'd be a cool place too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Egypt, Assassin's crazy, excited.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine them doing really it in World War II or something like that, or like during that
time
period.
Dude, World War II would be sick.
An assassin, though? I couldn't.
In
I
the
can't
trenches?
Picture it. Yeah.
Have they done a World War I or World War II one before?
They did, Syndicate. They kind of did like a little off-side mission thing where you go into the future
that.
With Evie's and Jacob's granddaughter.
Yeah. Then again,
was that in that? Because it was also in Unity. They like time traveled through like these rifts.
Yeah, but
right.
Oh, yeah. That one you were just running away, trying to go back.
I remember
but
you being in
this
Paris.
This one you were
during that
talking
one.
To Churchill, trying to assassinate.
Oh, okay. I got crazy. One for you. Picture Assassin's Creed, like a character, like he has a typical kind of his garb that he wears and everything, like his hood and everything, but. Put it with like a World War II like outfit, like mesh it together somehow, and then picture him sprinting through like the trenches, and he's like just knifing guys and just ducking stuff, and like you know what I mean, like people are, and then he's trying to get to this general that's in this bunker or something, or some like officer or something like that.
Knife
you see him
Nazis.
Killing people in the trenches and just running through and sliding in the mud and stuff. Like,
yeah, that'd be awesome.
It could be kind of tight.
Could work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Think about that.
I'm starting to visualize.
And then like explosions everywhere, mortars just exploding next to you.
Yeah.
I
feel like Bobby Boucher. Like, visualize an attack. I'm visualizing. I'm trying to attack.
No, but yeah.
I don't
this
have
is,
the materials.
It has new stuff. I think I haven't seen any... the common thing about Assassin's Creed, the viewpoints where you go up to the highest peak and then...
Right. Mm. Unlock the
map and then you jump off. I haven't seen that yet, so I wonder how that's gonna happen.
I'm
because right now he has the pet eagle.
Right. I would say I thought if I remember reading right that there weren't going to be vantage points in this one. It was gonna be the first one without those, and that the eagle was what was gonna unlock the maps for you.
The eagle would do that, and then also you can like let's say you're sitting on a ledge and you want to see a little bit further ahead to see where your target went. Mm-hmm. The eagle will float forward and it will like target. It will like highlight targets.
Yeah,
for you.
The
like
eagle's people. Pretty much going to be the drone. Like,
yeah,
in,
like a drone.
Ghost Recon.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Far Cry 5 won't have the towers to climb anymore. But I don't. Yeah, I don't know about whether they'll have those viewpoints. Because I didn't see that.
I love
that,
the viewpoints.
Yeah, I like climbing I like climbing those things. I thought it was kind of cool.
But you'll be climbing pyramids. So
yeah, exactly.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah.
And you'll be fighting creatures, monsters. So that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's I don't know what the hell's that's going to be, but.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm all about it. I just don't want my map full of crap like on other Assassin's Creed games.
Oh, it will be.
Because that drove me crazy. And I think they've been listening to what people have been saying about that because that's one of the things that would put me off to Assassin's Creed was that I'd open my map up to like look and see what I want to do next. and it would just be like just cluttered with shit, mm-hmm. like just stuff. Like, well, they oh, here's these things, do. And yeah, they would, and that was fine to some degree, but it's, I think it got a little excessive sometimes, where they yeah. just they'd use that as filler when you didn't feel like doing a mission.
Yeah, yeah. It, so. I think it got a little overkill as they're progressing further and further into the series. It's getting more and more overkill, I think. So
right,
I agree with you.
And that's a lot of games too that are open world. I mean, they tend to toss a bunch of stuff out there, and if it's not meaningful things, I think the best game that does it the best is probably like Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto 5 did a great job of giving you extra side stuff to do, but it didn't feel like it was a bunch of a task.
Yeah,
like I got 21 of these I got to find, I got to do them,
because they spread them out during the mission. So you complete mm-hmm. some of the mission, some stuff will appear. Mm-hmm. Complete yeah. the other mission, more stuff will appear, pretty much.
Right.
So yeah, it was just spread out.
And I think the Witcher 2, Witcher 3, all the side missions were unique and very interesting. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd rather have unique stuff and not have as many of them to do than have just a bunch of like
fetch quests.
Find these five houses and then renovate them. Cool. And they're all spread out, and half of them you can't see because you haven't opened all the map yet. And
right.
You know, whatever. I don't want to, you know, rag on it, but I love Assassin's Creed. I'm excited for it as well.
Yeah.
I'll cap it with that.
Two thumbs up. Yeah. It's not even out yet.
So far, looking good.
Right.
Hopefully no bugs.
I wouldn't count on it.
Peace, Ubisoft. Listen yeah. to me.
Well, you know a game that's kind of buggy right now, but it's in, you know, people are playing it on PC right now, that's coming to Xbox, that I'm super excited about, is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. We talked about this in a previous episode.
It looks good.
It looks so polished.
It does.
At the E3 event, when they showed it at Microsoft's booth, like at their press conference. I can't wait. Xbox is going to get it first. PlayStation will get it a little later. That's something that I can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome.
It looks so clean. When I was the trailer when they released it, mm-hmm. it was so just beautiful. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. That's something we missed out too on the last podcast. We didn't bring that one up.
Well, we were saving some stuff for this. I mean, we kind of did. We just touched put our toes in the water a little bit. Just a little dip.
It's just a little
25 minutes of a dip. I don't know.
That was more than 25 minutes, but okay.
Like 35. I don't know. We went a while.
Yeah. But that game is going to be amazing. The trailer right. was so... It was funny. They killed someone with a frying pan at the end.
Yeah. In the back of the head.
Yeah.
Bing. Yeah.
Oh, that was perfect.
I saw that.
The frying pan. That's something that... Noah, do you ever use the frying pan on Friday the 13th?
I tried not to, but I have.
Did you knock someone out trying to get the boat or the car?
No, because I've been playing with like the same group of people and... You know, that would be very frowned upon to do. I really am only going to knock out a random in a pug group and steal his seat in the car. I can't do that to my actual friends.
If you start carrying a frying pan around, start recording it so I can see it. I want to see you just clock somebody and just take their stuff and run.
That always makes me think of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Because Jessica hit him. She's like, I hit him on the head with a frying pan and put him in the trunk, you know, so he wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of Friday 13th, just to touch on it real fast, I know it's not an E3 thing, but we're getting some new stuff tomorrow.
We are. They owe it to us.
Yep. They're giving us a bunch of free stuff tomorrow. Yep. I'm hoping it's new maps and maybe some new counselors. Yep.
It is neither of the above.
No. There goes all the air.
More bug fixes.
We're getting I think 13,000 XP to spend. It's going to be a double XP weekend this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Or double
CP
or XP or whatever. Each counselor is getting two new outfits. And Jason is getting the retro NES skin.
Woo! That's sweet. I still haven't gotten it, so I'm broke.
It's a fun game. I mean, I'm sure they'll have it on sale at some point. I mean, after it's been out for a little bit. But it's like, what, $40? $40. Brand new?
Yeah, you still can afford that.
Yeah. I'm sure you can.
I think it should be 30.
Dig down deep. With the way it was, yeah. I would say the 30 would have been perfect. But
30 maybe.
But I don't know. I mean, 40 bucks isn't bad. I think I've got my money.
I've way got more than my money. It's definitely the game I've been playing the most for, you know. But
if it's not better, I mean, it was a bit buggy, so they should have done. I mean, a lot of people couldn't even get into games. at first, so right. I think 30 made.
And this will make up for it. I mean,
yeah, the double XP weekend's gonna be nice. I mean, you can grind out a lot of levels in that. Hell yeah. And yeah,
I wasn't expecting anything necessarily. I mean, I'm enjoying the game so much that I feel like I've got my money's worth. And yeah, it sucked when it first came out, but you know, they've made right on most of that stuff by patching it up real quick. And
yeah, they've been pretty quick to. Yeah.
Like I said before, I'm a sucker for costumes, so the counselor costume pack makes me happy. That would have bought my happiness back alone.
Is there one?
Like,
Is there a counselor pack?
No. Each counselor gets two outfits.
Okay, that's, I got that's you. Gonna I be got released.
Two clothing skins.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Jason gets the NES clothing skin.
What? Yes.
That's awesome.
Let's go back to E3 games because we always talk about Friday the 13th. Friday 13th.
We can do a Friday the 13th entire podcast.
I know, man. Come on.
Well, once you play it, you'll know why.
I know, but not yet.
Don't let this be your Overwatch.
It's going to be Overwatch, okay?
Oh, my God. Here we go again.
Crackdown 3.
In 2 months, when you finally play Friday the 13th, like, oh, my God, why did I wait? I'm gonna bring this up.
Yeah. Okay. Note it down.
Right here?
Yeah.
Hopefully there's something of record that'll keep this for us.
I hope so, too.
Maybe something that'll record it, maybe.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. We'll see. I know that you guys are huge fans of Metro. So when Metro Exodus was announced, and you saw how beautiful it was, and now you're going back to the foliage and being outside, I mean, you guys are going to play this, right?
Hell yes.
I didn't play the other ones.
Don't have to.
Oh, I did.
And they're great games. I mean, I'm sure we'll look cool. I'll probably be, you know, but it was one I didn't instantly like go, oh, I've got to, you know, just because I didn't.
Yeah.
I was in on the franchise beforehand, but yeah.
I think you'd enjoy it.
Oh, Metro?
It's kind of a horror, survival horror.
First person shooter
game. Yeah.
It's all single player.
Yeah. And some resource management.
Okay.
And it's based on some really awesome books.
Yeah.
Oh, all
so,
right. I couldn't get into that. I watch it. I watch, like, my little
the
brother.
The books or the game, you mean?
The game.
Uh-huh.
Did you try the second one? Because it was better than the first.
I tried both. I couldn't get into them. I enjoyed watching them. My brother played them, but I couldn't.
I like the second one better than the first game.
I play him in Russian.
Really? No. You're Russian.
He's hardcore.
Yeah. Hardcore. With a bottle of vodka in that one hand.
Yeah.
I get to learn new swear words when they're swearing at each other.
Where can I use this?
Now it's the perfect time in the grocery store.
Yeah, some new slang.
Nobody will know what he's saying, so they'll be fine. They'll keep walking around.
Not in the Midwest.
That's good though. How about Call of Duty World War II?
I mean,
that looks really good.
I knew you were going to go back to Call of Duty.
Come on, it looks good. You know, you remember I was kind of going, blah, blah, blah.
I'm waiting for
a
curveball.
I'm not so sure about it. I watched some videos of the multiplayer. It looks really good. They got a war zone mode or something going, and it looks really cool where it's objective-based gameplay where you got to play as a team and capture points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like capture a building together and keep the enemies out for a certain amount of time. And
okay. I can see a lot of people borrowing some things from Overwatch.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely got a little Overwatch vibe going there.
And it's
going
to be mostly, defense. So,
which is good.
Yeah, there's like attack, defend. You secure the base, move on to the next one while you're defending. Not even defending that. You
build a bridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
While you're being bombarded.
Yeah. So it's going to be it's going to be a teamwork-based game, pretty much. They're trying to make that game, but there's going to be a lot of lone wolves out there.
Yeah. And they'll have the standard team deathmatch and other things, too. So
standard game modes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they also said, I was listening to to an interview with the guys that are developing the game in Sledgehammer, and they said that the zombie mode is going to be a mixture of you know, zombies that you've seen in the past and necromorphs, like from Dead Space, because they're like changing them up a little bit, making them a little more crazy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
That'd be something interesting.
Oh, that's what people are not going to like. There's jetpacks. See the jetpacks?
Are there jetpacks?
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool. I mean, it's cool that they're adding new stuff into it or whatever, but, I mean, it is what it is. I don't think it'd be that big of a deal. So
I want to see jetpacks during the campaign mode with the freaking, like, crazy-ass just a revolver running around. They're also, like, sneak peek of, I think they're going to do dual weapons. So they're probably bringing that back, the Akimbo pistols.
Akimbo, yeah.
I am excited for that, even though I suck at that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be fine.
But works in Wolfenstein, akimbo.
Yeah.
Two rocket launchers.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, there's rocket launchers in Wolfenstein?
Mm-hmm. Wolfenstein, oh yeah.
Is it definitely the new one or the recent
The one? Prior one had like dual grenade launchers or something.
What do you guys think of the new one, though?
It looks cool.
I think it should be fine. Yeah.
I enjoyed the first one.
I haven't seen much about it, though.
Yeah, that was something that kind of like just quick review, and then everyone just walked away from it. I didn't see much of it.
Yeah. There was some gameplay. It looks like it should be fun. I enjoyed the first one and the add-on. So, looking forward to it.
Sweet, man. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, there's a couple new IPs coming out that I'm interested in. Actually, interested to see what you guys think. How about this? Sea of Thieves versus Skull and Bones.
Sea of Thieves, I think, because you can actually do land battle and look for treasures and stuff.
I think I'm kind of leaning towards Sea of Thieves, too, just because I like that kind of co-op type style. Sea of Thieves is a little bit more cartoonish, and it's kind of co-op based, and your job is like man the ship, repair the ship, fire a cannon, go on land, do things, where Skull and Bones is a lot more realistic. It's
almost a simulator.
Yeah, yeah. What's that? Black Flag. It's a lot more like Black Flag, you're going to have five versus five matches, but you're more concerned with, you know, your whole ship, not your, you know, individual pirate doing things and building fleets and
doing
stuff.
Doing his
so.
Pirate thing.
You're not going to jump into the ocean and search for treasures in a sunken pirate ship while there's sharks chasing you, which is Sea of Thieves. It's a little more cartoony, but it looks like it should be a fun time.
So what's the other one that you were... What's the other one then? So
Skull and Bones is so the other one. That's the one that's like...
Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Rare does Sea of Thieves.
The Skull and Bones is pretty much like Pirates of... not Pirates of the Caribbean. Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag.
Okay.
Naval battle.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like they took a lot of it from the battles from that.
So same premise though, working together as
yeah,
as
you'll
a,
be
as
like
crew.
Five versus five. So you and four of the friends, you know,
man a ship.
Well, I think you each man a ship and you become a fleet.
Oh, sweet.
I'm still not entirely sure. I don't know
if
that's...
they didn't go into too many details.
They didn't go into too many details, but yeah.
Hmm. But you could have the ramming ships. They have a big old what is that thing called in the
It's basically your ram.
Yeah.
So you can ram by the ships.
It's under the...
Dodge ram.
Just underneath the surface. And I saw him like take out a big old battleship or something with it. It was pretty sweet.
Nice.
The graphics are pretty much top notch.
Yeah.
It destroys the... Sweet.
I know there's something about looting is important in Skull and Bones. And if your teammate has more loot, the person with the most loot that is able to escape win, so it might be necessary to like sacrifice your ship if you don't have very much loot to like let your teammate escape so that you all reap the benefits, I guess.
Yeah,
that's
your whole
reading,
team
so.
Will win. Mm-hmm. And there's like your team and then there will be some other random team out there and you have to try to finish the area with the most loot. The team that finishes with the most loot wins. And then you'll have like pirate hunters that'll come in towards the end and it's time to run. Because they're like heavily armored ships that you cannot take down. You have to run from them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's exactly like Assassin's Creed. When you take down the naval ships, the pirate hunters were going to track you down, and they're always stronger than you. So you're just running away.
Huge ass ships. You got to stay away from them.
Yeah. Right. I hope Sea of Thieves has a lot of customization and things like that. And you can build unique pirates and have...
Sword battles
and stuff. Yeah, that one.
Thing is, it's cartoonish.
I know. I kind of wish they could kind of like combine into one super awesome game.
Still put those together.
Mesh them, yeah.
Still looks like it could be fun. I mean, you even get like treasure maps. You have to follow them and follow the clues and figure out where the treasure is, and then everybody helps dig up the treasures.
But the funny thing is, if you mix those two together, you'll get Assassin's Creed 4.
Well, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
No, you're not lying. I mean, what you're saying is.
True.
It's true. So
true.
I don't know. I guess we have to wait and see how it plays out. I mean, that's half the fun of what we're doing. It's like we don't know how certain things will play. I mean, we can pretty much guess on some of that stuff, but it's going to be just fun just to get our hands on things and get a little experience playing that stuff. Some stuff is going to turn us off, and some games are going to be like awesome. You'd be like, dude, I had no idea this one was so good. I have my eye on Star Wars Battlefront 2, but... You know, whatever. This was over here was even better. You know?
Yeah, or it might look awesome. It might look awesome right now, and then releases, and it's like, it's crap.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Hopefully they bring out some betas and demos.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for betas.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure, I'm going to be on the closed beta
like,
for...
Yeah, keep watching the internet.
We haven't really given Nintendo a lot of love. I think they did a stellar job with their press conference.
They had the best, I think, in my opinion, they were the top-notch one. Mm-hmm. And then Xbox came in second, mm-hmm. and PlayStation in third. Only reason I think PlayStation lost this time when they came in third was because it was just trailers. They didn't really talk or do much on stage.
I don't know if well, you weren't here last week. We kind of did a thing where we kind of rated them as well, where we were like, I think so-and-so did best, this person would be second, it'd be third. That's awesome that you put Nintendo on top, because I don't think any of us put Nintendo number one last week, did we?
Nope.
I think so.
I recall.
No, you. I put it on second. I put it last.
Yeah, I put it number. I think I put it number two.
So Xbox number one?
No, I put Xbox number three. I actually put just based on just games that they were showing and stuff and stuff that I was excited for.
Okay.
I put Sony number one.
Well, yeah.
And I put Nintendo number two, which is fine. I mean, this was the whole point of the conversation was to have cross conversation. Don't go back on what you said or anything like that.
You're fine. I'm just talking presentation, how they presented on stage. I think that Sony was like, here's a video. But I'm extremely excited for Sony games. Mm-hmm. Although it'll be a while before most of those come out.
Right. Well, that was the thing with Sony that we brought up too, where, like, you know, because Sony, they tend to try to take, in my opinion, they tend to try and take little jabs at Microsoft a little bit. So after Microsoft did their presentation with the Xbox One X and all this stuff, when Sony's turn came, they were like, hell, we're just going to talk about the games. You know, they're like, that's all we're going to talk about is games. So here we are.
Because
you know,
they don't
have
anything else.
Well, I don't know. And so they went off and they just started going on with the games and stuff. And every one that they put out there was like, in my opinion, was like, you know, top notch. I was like, okay, I want that one. I'm going to play that one. Oh, I forgot about that one. You know, so that's the only reason why I would give it number one, at least for me. And Nintendo number two with Odyssey and all that stuff. And then Microsoft, I don't know. I feel like they didn't have enough first party support. The Xbox One X, I love it. I'm going to probably get one.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the games that they named off, but they just didn't have enough firepower. I feel like they had awesome guns, but they had no bullets for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of first-party stuff.
Yeah, they got to step that up a little bit and get some new IPs going more than what they have been. Maybe they have some stuff in the chamber and they're just not firing off any shots yet. I don't know.
Tell us about it next year.
There you go. We'll hear about it throughout the course of the rest of this year, and then they'll tease it.
I'm sure.
Maybe they're throwing off teasers later on this.
Yeah,
later on
the that's
months.
Fine.
Just trickling out there.
That's fine. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Well, even Days Gone on the PlayStation, you know, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, great, look, the zombies, you know, they're chasing this guy, he's outnumbered. That first demo was kind of, okay. But the gameplay this time made it look more like it was almost like The Last of Us. There's actual story going on, and it looks interesting, though.
Showing other characters besides the main character.
How you can use the environment and the zombies as a weapon, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see how that one plays out and see if it has any legs, you know, once you start playing it, or how replayable that game will be. I mean, a lot of times those single player games like that, that have a linear story can be, you know, an awesome thing to play one time through. And unless the story's really good, I'm probably not going to pick it up again. Like The Last of Us, I played through more than once because the story was so awesome.
Yeah.
Even though it was pretty linear for the most part.
Guess we'll see how the story goes. It's supposed to have a lot of unscripted stuff that happens. Mm-hmm. So guess we'll
Absolutely.
See.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. No, I hit the mic.
God of War.
Oh, we missed God of War.
Yeah, God of War looked amazing.
It looks amazing. I haven't
picked up any God of Wars.
What? That's right, because you don't. Yeah, you're not a Sony guy at all whatsoever. No one should kick you under the table.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm actually one of those. Yeah, that's what I like. In theory, like everything about the God of Wars. I've just not bought in any of the games. But this one sure looks good and promising, you know, with this kid and all that stuff. But we've been seeing a lot of that, I feel, prior to E3, even they've kind of been teasing that a little bit. So, obviously there's more, but.
Yeah, it wasn't as big of a surprise as everybody thought. Obviously, it was one of those ones where we knew it would be
there in some capacity.
Yeah, yeah. That was one reason to buy a PS4. Just for God of War.
I like the open battlefield more, where you can actually look around instead of be stuck in looking in one direction, which is the way the prior God of War is, like a set piece. You're kind of stuck there. I mean, you can move around, but the camera didn't move with you. So you had to make these jumps sometimes. Fall off a cliff because you didn't know exactly how close you were.
Yeah. The old God of Wars definitely are a sign of the times during that console generation with PS3 and whatnot. Even if you went back and played like the collection God of War 3, I know, was available in the PS4 store as a backwards, not backwards compatible. I guess I really can't use that with them. As a game you can download and play.
Yeah, only on the PSN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I played all of them.
It's good. I mean, they're fun for what they were, but if you didn't play them back then, you go back and play them now. Yeah. As somebody who didn't play God of War, you're kind of like, oh, what's all the fuss about? This isn't that great.
Press the square button as fast as you can.
A lot of quick time events.
A lot of quick time. Yeah.
But they were fun, though. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'll probably go back and try them just.
Yeah.
Probably not.
The premise is awesome, though. I mean, you're going through killing gods.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So to put it on a different scale and then really give it like a cinematic look and just up the graphical power and everything and by putting on a PS4.
How many gods have you killed?
All of them, pretty much.
The Greek gods.
As far as the Greek gods, yeah.
Okay, so now he's fighting what, Jesus Christ?
Norse gods.
Oh. All right.
What?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
I think God of War 4, where he goes up against a monotheistic religion.
Right.
Fights God or Jesus.
Something like that. Right there. Yeah.
Jesus won't fight back.
He'll turn the other cheek.
This is a great time to take a break. Okay, we're back from our break and our God of War talk. Oh, Jose, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. But I think, honestly,
see a game like that.
No.
Kratos loves you.
Nobody wants to see that.
Fight the Christian gods. Come on.
No. It's not happening. But, I mean, let's go back to what you were saying, though, because, I mean, obviously you had a different opinion than the rest of us as far as, like, Nintendo doing an awesome job. So what made you pick them as your number one publisher out of the whole event?
Not necessarily the number one publisher, because they didn't have necessarily all the games that I want. I just thought that they did a better job with the presentation up on stage, the way they address the crowd. And
okay, so you're going on different criteria, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So I think when we were talking about it last week, we were talking about who had the games that you wanted to play?
I'd go with PlayStation then.
If I had to go off, if we're talking about just overall presentation, I think you are correct, though. Nintendo did have some showmanship with how they presented things, and that I think that you definitely would put Microsoft second and Sony third. So I would agree with your list if we're going off presentation, sure.
Who had the dabbing panda?
The dabbing panda?
Someone had a dabbing panda.
I mean, picturing it, Nintendo is the first one that comes to mind, but I guess it could have been any of them.
Yeah, it was probably Nintendo.
Yeah, who else would? Yeah.
Panda.
Well, with Nintendo, the Super Mario
Odyssey.
Odyssey looks unbelievable.
That looks sick.
Looks so much fun.
When I get a Switch, because it's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
That Mario Odyssey, Zelda,
obviously,
and Mario Kart will definitely be in the stable.
Yeah,
and those probably be the only three games I'll need probably for the next year or two, unless they come out. Oh, sorry, Metroid Prime 4.
Right.
Yes,
those four games will be all I'll need on the Switch. And
and
let's be honest, we could just take Zelda and run with that for months, not even touch the other ones.
It's a huge game, and
but watching Odyssey, watching videos of Odyssey on YouTube and stuff,
amazing.
It looks so fun.
You're running around in 3D, and then he runs into this little tube, and then he's in 2D.
Yeah, like the old school Mario
ceiling,
from NES.
And then he's in 3D again on the top of the building. It's sweet.
It was like NES Mario against the wall for a second.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, I
did not see that. That's awesome.
You need to check out some video.
Yeah. It looks really cool.
His hat is a weapon, so he's constantly throwing the hat. The hat has eyes on it, so he throws it like a frisbee, like a boomerang.
Yeah.
The old James Bond.
Whips around, and he can hit a bunch of bunch of enemies and then get the coins and stuff.
His hat's alive now, so.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
It also allows you to possess things like those little rockets, and you can fly the rocket around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can possess enemies in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very neat.
Be a Goomba.
Good 2D fighting game.
Oh, God.
Dragon Ball Z.
I knew it. You were so predictable.
I am.
Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah, I have that voice now. Jerk.
Did you?
Well, they showed some Marvel versus Capcom, which looked pretty good.
No, I'm kidding, but not really.
But yeah, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. I knew it was
coming. Come on, man. That's awesome.
So you got the voiceover for what? What are you talking about?
What?
You said you got the voiceover for somebody. You talking about the Mr. Chow?
Mr. Chow?
The Mr. Chow voiceover?
Mr. Chow.
Mr. Chow says.
Mr. Chow.
He got so Mr. Chow. You guys remember Mr. Chow from
Hangover?
From the Hangover movies, the little Asian man, the guy, he's not a doctor, but
Ken.
He's like a the drug dealer guy or whatever.
Yeah,
he's like in the trunk in the
Ken
first
Jeong.
One. Yeah, yep. Ken Jeong. I guess the Call of Duty did a voiceover pack that you can download for like $3, and he'll like call your UAVs in, like UAV coming in. And he's like laughing. Yeah,
I haven't bought it yet. I totally forgot about
what? Dude, get on this.
I'm gonna buy it when I get home.
You're supposed to have done this and reported back to us and let us know how awesome it is.
Forgot, man. Still have method.
Give me a good laugh. Right. It sounds like.
Yeah, I can't wait to try that out.
Yeah, I'm gonna download it when I get home. So sweet.
There you go. Thank let you me know how it is. That,
but yeah.
So speaking of two-player games, I am still super excited for A Way Out.
That looks really good.
EA. It is only a split-screen co-op game.
Either split screen or online co-op.
I'm pretty sure, though, that even if you play online co-op, it's still split screen.
Really?
It is a mandatory split screen.
That's different.
And that's not how I understood it, but yeah.
Because I thought the purpose was you witness both events simultaneously.
That would make sense.
Because you want to see what they're doing.
Right. And yeah. Your partner can be in a cutscene while you're free to look around, and then your partner gets to see what you know. I mean, part of it, I think that the premise of the game is that it's just split screen, no matter.
You're probably right.
No matter
actually,
what,
because this
seems
gives
so
us their point
bizarre.
Of view, what they're seeing.
Yeah, and I feel like I see a little gameplay of. I mean, they show teasers of it and stuff.
Could be distracting a little
and
bit.
And it looked
could be
look great. That could be. I definitely agree that you'd want a friend to play it with you, probably. Versus just a random person you picked up online. Yeah. But
like
you never know.
Some random guy who just wants to mess around and ruin the game for you.
But like I said last time, if you would assume hopefully that they'd want to play correctly too, but
you never know you could
prison,
get some troll.
So it could be a
Well, he's like bend over and pick up the soap.
Stab the security guard.
Dad, it wasn't time yet. Yeah,
right.
But that looks really good. I agree with you.
Yeah,
They
had like a scene in the laundry room, the prison laundry room. Uh-huh. They showed a little tease and like. We have to kind of work together, one of you, to distract the guard while somebody smuggles something into
there's
the laundry sheet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It was like, there's a fight over there. And then the other guy kind of like picked a fight with somebody else so that they got in a fight. And
yeah.
It kind of looked like the possibilities could be endless and reminded me of like a two-person Assassin's Creed where you'd got to go in together and take down, like those multiplayer missions and stuff. So
or
had a lot
like
of potential.
You could break the steamer and throw the guard inside the machine. It's not going to kill him anyway.
Right.
Yeah, there were like a bunch of different ways you could approach things.
I dig that.
I think it looks really cool. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we'll get down on that and report back at some point when that comes out. Did you guys get any ETA on that?
Almost everything is just coming soon.
I didn't get a date on that.
That's to be expected. Typically with E3, no one's gonna like toss down their hat in the gauntlet and say this is coming out November 15th.
Crackdown 3 is coming out when the new console comes out. November 7th.
I had a feeling that was going to happen too.
That one looks fun. I mean, I loved Crackdown 1. 2 was but we still had fun with it.
Oh yeah.
I think the new one would be fun. And then if you play it online, you'll actually be able to make buildings collapse because it only does the collapsing buildings on the online part.
Why is that?
Because it uses their new cloud technology, some kind of cloud processor.
Mm-hmm.
So they like went out of their way to take advantage of this cloud processor, and that was before they were coming out with Xbox One X. So they were trying to like push the envelope, and the Xbox One couldn't push the envelope on its own. So they have a cloud technology, which has like some kind of processor that they have in a cloud that will allow the game to
give
do
them
something
more,
online,
more
give
power
them
to
more power
to knock. Yeah, okay.
So that's only
cool,
available for the multiplayer. So you'll be playing like against another group of people. And you can knock down the building that they're shooting at you from.
Interesting.
Okay.
But the single player will be the basic stuff that we've done in the past, collecting the little things that make you agility globes and attacking globes, gun globes. But I think I'm looking forward to it because I love those games.
Yeah. No. This should be good.
State of Decay 2. I actually like the first one. The second one I think has co-op, so it could be.
Yeah, you should be able to play with more, because I know before you can play by yourself. And, building your settlements and maintaining people's health and helping them with their mental stability and all that stuff. And
yeah.
Trying to get food and
looks like that could be fun.
Yeah, I think that should be pretty fun. I know, there's one that I wanted to ask you guys about if you had any interest in whatsoever, and that was more of a an indie title, which Ashen? Was no, but that one looks interesting too.
Yeah.
Talk, you know, what's that one about? What's Ashen?
Well, I don't know much about it. I just saw the trailer. It looks like it takes place in like a post-apocalyptic type of world where the nights are growing longer and these dark evil creatures come out during the night, and it's an indie game, and I think you play co-op with your friends. It's kind of has a vibe of like Nioh or Nioh, or you know, like Dark Souls type thing.
So you gotcha.
Play with your friends, you're fighting these different monsters, and the art is really unique. It looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I haven't heard about that one. So
yeah,
that
it's worth checking out. Ashen, A S H E N. There are some videos of it. Yeah. Don't really know many details. They just kind of showed the video, but didn't talk about it too much.
Sure. Okay. And see, and those are the ones that I want to hear about the most. I mean, because no matter what, I'm gonna get my fill of Spider-Man information. I'm gonna get my fill of God of War information. I'm gonna get my fill of Destiny 2 information. So all the big hitters are gonna be there.
Yeah.
In advertisement, all over the place when I go online, etc.
Well, I want Spider-Man.
So, oh, everybody
that looks
wants
so
Spider-Man.
Good.
I mean, come on.
And come on, it's
Spider-Man,
not based on a movie for once. Yes!
Yeah, if you don't want Spider-Man, something's wrong with you. That game's going to be juicy. But I want those little ones, the small games, the indie games. I want Moss. You know, I want some of those games. Moss was, I believe, was the one with the little mouse.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I think
it's
I
VR.
Think you can play it in VR. Yeah.
But you're kind of like your placement is static. You can't move around the map. But it like changes. It's like you're in a book, though. The book changes pages, and then you'll be in a new position. But you help this little mouse like to build bridges to go across and to solve puzzles and stuff. And they did it like this in order to keep people from getting nauseous.
Mm, okay.
Because you know a lot of head bobbing and moving around makes some people super nauseous in VR.
Yeah, just gotta get used to it.
Yeah.
But those are the pieces that I want. I want those little games too, and I'm glad a lot of those were in the forefront this year.
Strange Brigade is one of the ones that...
What's that?
I was really interested in that was kind of in the indie section. It's a game by Rebellion. It's strictly a co-op game, so like four people co-op, I think, max. But it's set in 1930s Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than just one of those wave enemy things, but you do spend a lot of time fighting hordes of mummy-like zombies, and then there's occasionally like you know ancient Egyptian monster type things, and you work together to bring them down and keep going on the map.
Okay.
Don't know much more.
Are mummies zombies?
Yeah, I
no,
guess
because they don't want blood or brains. They just
but they are technically undead.
They are undead.
Yeah,
though.
So
yeah.
Zombies.
I think they feed on life force or something.
If
I'm
you had
sure.
to put them into a category, I don't know.
Undead.
Undead, which zombies are going. I guess you put, I guess you put mummies
in. The undead would be the category. And,
yes,
yeah, zombies
that's what I was
going to
say.
And
zombies would be at the bottom
boom.
With ghouls.
And yeah.
That's
and
what I would
like
do, yeah.
The brainless undead.
Yeah. No, because we have zombies in Egypt.
Why do you want mummy zombies?
Yeah. They're zombies. mummies are zombies.
I don't agree.
How about Monster Hunter World? That
that'll be awesome.
We were talking about that too.
Switch nuts getting it.
No.
No,
that was the thing that we were saying. Yeah.
It's gonna require too much processing power.
Which what we were talking about before is that sucks because I feel like they're getting the shaft a little bit because Monster Hunter traditionally is a Nintendo mm-hmm.
well, they've
exclusive
always
game.
Yeah,
you
so this
will
be
mean?
The first time Sony's gotten one, I think, in
right.
at least in a long time. I think they got something on the Vita, maybe, but
Oh, I think there was a Monster Hunter on the Vita, now that you say that. Yeah, because I think I even have it. But
they're going to get it later on. That's
I'm sure they'll dumb it down a little bit for that.
Dumb it down.
Well, not dumb it down, but take...
No, I don't mean dumb it down.
Dial down
negative.
The graphics.
Dial down the,
yeah, right.
dial down the graphics.
Dial it down a few notches to kind of to accommodate that system. Because
it stuttered a little bit even on the powerful machine, so, you know, it's like... Mm. I mean, there's still time for them to optimize.
Sure.
Because you're always going to get a little bit of... hitching going on with games that they're showing off because they're not done.
Yeah. Well, also at E3 and shows like that, usually you're getting a slice, like a small sliver of a pie, and that they've optimized and have you know, put through the paces just this section. They're not even playing a full game, and you think they're playing a full game and they're playing a section. No, they have a chunk of the game that they've curated specifically just to show you this.
Yep.
And it's going to run perfectly. It's going to run smooth. It's going to be 60 frames, etc. But that's because it's only one little chunk. Mm-hmm. They're still working on the whole game.
And it's pretty alpha.
Don't let that fool you.
So. Right.
Yeah. The whole game may not work that way, you know, but they want to optimize it for your viewing pleasure when you're looking at the presentation or whatever, or on the show floor.
Yeah.
So
I saw something VR related called Bravo Team.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll actually be using the it looks like they were using the PlayStation Aim controller, because I could see them aiming down the sight, which you would do with that controller.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, how would you describe that game? It looked like a game where you're working as a team, kind of like a Call of Duty type thing, but not like necessarily deathmatch type style, where you're working together to take on objectives and whatnot. Like, it showed the girl hiding behind like a brick wall, the guy was hiding behind some cover, and they were communicating to each other.
Yeah.
And then they pan back and you see the person playing the game. They're holding the Aim controller, which is the new controller that came out.
Nice.
And he's like shooting off shots and stuff, and I guess they're communicating with the mics and they're talking and stuff, so... You're actually doing Call of Duty type stuff, sort of, but you're actually holding a weapon, not just a controller.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
That's what it seemed like. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, you know, feel free to write in or shoot us an email or something and give us more info about it.
Tell him he's wrong.
Looks interesting.
I'm fine with being wrong.
Oh, and Inpatient was another one of those that was not really mentioned much, but it's a VR horror game in an insane asylum. In the 1940s.
I say I want that, and then I'm going to put the headset on and not want that.
And it'll be too scary.
Yeah.
With ghosts and psychosis.
Well,
and
we know how this played out when I played Resident Evil 7. I mean,
yeah, I loved it in VR. You were like, I'm going to go back to the regular mode.
Well, it wasn't because I was scared. It was more like just I needed
it's
to break.
Too intense.
I needed a break from like the intensity.
Yeah,
I would walk around corners and just peek around corners and run back to the safe room. And I do that like three times before I finally go out into this door, because I thought someone was going to get me. You know?
It makes you feel like you've got something more to lose than you normally would.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
And then typically when I played that, I'd be up by myself, and then like my cat would brush against my arm and scare the crap out of me. Who needs that in their life? You play it.
I'll play it.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm down.
You're so full of shit. I'm going to bring my VR to you and let you borrow it.
All right.
And give you Resident Evil 7, and then you do it.
All right.
All right.
I'm down.
Okay, we're going to do it.
Cool.
You don't have to rent it. I think I downloaded it to my hard drive, unfortunately.
Noah plays it, too.
Huh?
Noah.
No one doesn't play it, too. Where did that come from? How did I get into this conversation?
You still have that list of games.
Noah doesn't like
scary games. I know
the scary
games that I have to play, yeah.
We need to do a stream, man. We have to get Noah playing some scary stuff and just get him on a stream, and we just do it. We just have a night. We just do that. It'd be awesome. Just sit back with popcorn and watch Noah just shit his pants.
Dropping all the popcorn on the floor.
No, it's going to be fine. We're going to bring you an extra pair of trousers, an extra pair of underwear. It's going to be great, buddy.
We can bring some depends.
Yeah. Whatever you need, man.
Oh, man.
Support group.
Sweet. Well, you know, something else about the Xbox. They're making Xbox games backwards compatible, too.
Mm-hmm.
The original Xbox
All the way
games.
Back. Yeah,
good for them.
Yeah. We did mention that, too. So original Xbox games are going to be able to be played on the Xbox One S and the Xbox One X.
Yep.
Going forward. Bravo.
Because that's not confusing to say or anything. Way to go, Microsoft.
I don't know why they did that.
I know nobody does.
We complained about it last week. It's so dumb. It's too close. Yeah. X and S are like so close together.
Yeah.
As far as just
the
way they
sound. They said that they had some other ideas, but the other things they wanted to use, like Scorpio, it was... I said it had already been used in something, so they didn't want to deal with the...
Confusion.
The trademark issues and maybe have to fight it in court.
Yeah.
So
X is the most simplest.
Oh no.
Simple.
Well, they wanted to do maybe let's do Elite. Wait, we've already done an Elite console. Came with the Elite controller. Forget it.
I failed to believe that with all the money that company has and all the people that they have under their employment, under their thumb, that somebody couldn't come up with something better than the X after they just put out the S.
They got lazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to buy one at some point. So
same here.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I will rue them as I play and enjoy.
How about Far Cry 5?
Oh, yeah. I'm loving the setting.
It looks really interesting. I mean, it's a nice change. You'll actually have a pet that can go and collect weapons for you.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. That's awesome. I saw that.
And you'll be able to fly biplanes. And
they've gotten a little heat for the drastic change of setting, but I think it's... so what? A needed change. I mean, you need to change it up, like we were talking, as far as, you know, says. I mean, that I think it's a change in the right direction. I mean, it makes me interested in it again. We're kind of like the last one, even though it was set in the prehistoric thing, it was still a lot like the others, and
it was
I just
close.
Kind of passed on it, you know, it just wasn't. But this is,
well, they've also been getting a lot of flack, more so because of the religious undertones and the cult kind of vibe. Right.
Yeah, but it's not even a real religion necessarily.
Well, that doesn't stop the trolls online.
I know.
Well,
there's always going to be people that are haters. I mean, they hate it on other games that Ubisoft was making because they're like, oh, that place that's taking place in where was it? The one that took place in South America.
Mm.
They're like, why don't you guys ever make America, you know, America the bad guy?
Well, you're talking about Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, that was that country was upset because they didn't want to be painted in a negative light by having the cartel going.
Horizon Zero Dawn got under fire because of cultural appropriation, because they made all the white people like Native Americans.
Mm.
Instead, and people were just, I mean, and that's legit. I mean, I hear that, but it just goes to show that no matter what, there's going to be some group somewhere that's offended by something. Right. It just seems
all you can do is try to be as culturally and you know,
whatever sensitive is.
Just try to be as sensitive as you can to some degree. But ultimately, if you're trying to make something, put that stuff in there. And that's why Ubisoft always, if you notice, every time they make a game, at the beginning of it, it says made by a multicultural, multi-religion, multi-gender. They cover all the bases and say this is, you know, not one group's
everything
vision.
Is fiction.
And this is all fiction. So it's like basically telling you, shut the fuck up, enjoy the game. Bunch of different people made this, so calm down and enjoy. So, which is, you know.
Perfect.
It's true.
We consulted with everybody. Nobody was offended from our group that helped make the game. So.
Right.
So, enjoy.
But that's just our internet.
But in
culture.
All honesty, that works for them. I mean, we've been studying marketing in school, you know what I mean? It's like that. There is no such thing as bad publicity. So, I mean, some of it, I wonder how much the company's not behind, you know, themselves. Because if you're dominating the headlines, that's what they, you know, that's what you want.
But that's kind of like, but that ties into other stuff too. For instance, like the book American Gods by Neil Gaiman. That came out like, what, 2002, 2003, something like that, 10 years ago. So the guy who wrote that book, not to get off topic real quick, I'm going to bring it back. He is from, he's like from like, what, England, London or something like that?
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, he's a European guy. And he wrote it, and the book is basically about America. And it's a lot of American reference to like the past and like our history and all that stuff. When that book came out, and then now the show came out just like a month or so ago, people were upset because they were like, well, who are you, a European guy, you know, some dude from London or whatever, to talk about our culture and our history as Americans? You're not even American, man. Like, they were getting mad like that. It's like, come on, man. He's telling
longer than a month, he could probably figure some things out.
He's telling a story. He's telling a fictitious story.
Exactly.
Referencing, you know, pop culture and gods and stuff.
Never going to make everybody happy. There's always
going to
be.
So when I heard that, I was like, give me a break.
It's a satirical political commentary a little bit, you know what I mean?
Right?
It's like, you're entitled to do that.
He even touches on it at the end of the book with like a little epilogue kind of thing where he's talking about how people were so upset and they came at him about it because he made this book about America and he's not American. And it's like, dude, come on. Like,
I'm talking
really?
Wah as far as Americans going nuts over.
I don't know.
He's pretty much more OG then.
That kind of stuff. Dude, that book's good. You need to check it out.
I need to check it out.
And then watch the show too.
But,
we only got a few minutes left. I was going to ask you guys, how do you feel? Okay, first let me ask you this. How do you guys feel about Skyrim? You guys play that? Did you guys enjoy it when it came out? Did you ever play it?
Yeah.
I think we talked about this before.
Yeah, I didn't play it. I don't know. I would be enveloped. I would be gone. You wouldn't see me. You know, those type of games. So
Right.
I loved it.
Well, I guess you guys probably saw this, but they're releasing it with a VR patch or a VR update or a VR... You know, just that's a VR version of it.
Wow.
I guess.
The LARPing industry is really going to suffer from that. Nobody's going to show up to the festivals. They're all going to live in their VR worlds.
Lightning bolts.
Lightning
bolts.
Lightning and ice out of your hands.
Oh, man.
He's like throwing lightning bolts. That video. Lightning bolt. Lightning bolt. Lightning bolt. Lightning bolt.
What are you doing, man?
Oh, man.
LARPing convention canceled this year due to
Skyrim
VR.
Yeah.
Thanks, Skyrim.
It could be good. It could be good.
I guess we'll have to see how they.
As long as it's 4K.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how they implement the controllers. They could use that new gun because... But I'm guessing they're going to have you use the move. But how are you going to move? Though.
Well,
Point to
if they
somewhere.
Made a, if they made whatever thing you use, you know, to have a joystick on it with that
knob on
something
it.
Like that, and not right.
So they got to have to have like the Vive and the Oculus controllers, basically. That
but, right. That's what I was thinking. That right. You have the with the Oculus. And, yeah.
Or they well, depending on how they map it to the move controllers. If you hold the button and you walk, maybe,
right.
And then you just slash you with your movements. I don't know yeah. how that's going
to
yeah, work.
I don't know. I never played. I never played.
Point
Skyrim.
To a certain
I mean,
place, and then it teleports you to that spot, and then you can fight from there.
Because even on the Samsung VR one, I have like there's a side. Button that's like the thing on the PlayStation controller, you know, the touchpad part.
Sure.
And you can like hold your finger on it to walk, or if you like tap it, it would shoot or hit or whatever. But uh-huh. I mean that's really archaic as far as, you know, doing it in a game. Obviously,
right?
a controller is much more. Yeah. When you're looking especially at a big game, a AAA game or whatever.
Like, how's that yeah. gonna work? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
I know we brought it up before. We only got a few minutes, but I wanted to bring it up. Uncharted: The Lost Legacy and Detroit: Become Human. Out of those two Sony properties, mm-hmm. which one are you more excited for?
Definitely by far for me, it's Uncharted, because Chloe was one of my favorite characters, and Nadine yeah. was one of my favorite characters, and to finally have like an Uncharted yeah. thing not focused on Nathan,
mm-hmm.
and not that I dislike Nathan, but just to have it such a
it
have a
happen.
Different thing, yeah, is exciting for me. So I cannot
point.
Wait for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they did. They went in the right direction picking those two.
Yeah, there was total fan favorites.
Nadine
so.
and Chloe.
Yeah,
I love Chloe since two. I mean,
yeah.
I was like, who's this?
Yep, I know.
Who's this?
Yeah.
Sultry lady.
Disappointed when yeah.
Exactly.
Who's this?
Because that was wasn't know. That kind of also when they introduced who did he end up marrying?
Elena.
Oh, Elena. Yeah, were they the same one? And I was hoping right. he did. It was kind of like the Betty and Veronica thing, and I was hoping he was going to end up with Chloe at the end, but
yeah.
he picked
Chloe
Betty,
was the
so.
Bad girl that everybody liked. Yeah. And Elena's the girl you want to bring home to mom. Right,
yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
I'm looking forward to that probably more. I mean, the other one looks like
not that that's a bad
it'll
thing,
be a rental.
Right. I think we didn't we have those two in our rapid fire a while back? Or it's like, who would you pick,
remember.
Elena or Chloe?
Oh, yeah. That. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I went with the Chloe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did not. I forgot.
I went with Elena.
Yeah.
I mean, Chloe for fun, but you want to.
But for mom, Elena?
Yeah.
I could see that being the case.
Yeah. I'm interested in the Detroit.
Detroit
looks
good. Really cool.
It's the choices that you get to make in that game looks like it's going to be amazing as far as like taking like what a Mass Effect type game did. And blowing that out and making your choices truly have consequences or rewards. And you got to make them on the fly, too, pretty quick. Like, oh, do you want to hide behind this car? Do you want to flee? Do you want to do this or that? So, I don't know. I think it's going to be really sweet. Plus, they're androids, right? Isn't that what we gathered from it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so your main antagonist is an android.
Nier Automata meets Mass Effect?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah.
But you play as the antagonist, you play as the protagonist. It's kind of like Heavy Rain, where
you play both sides.
Yeah.
And you're trying to. I don't remember reading the entire story, but it seemed just from watching the trailer that they're trying to, like, awaken the rest of the androids.
Yeah.
And basically start a revolt against the humans because they're tired of being just, you know, pieces of machinery used at their disposal.
Yeah, I think there's going to be five different characters you get to play as.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much like, what's that movie with Will Smith?
Oh, iRobot?
Yeah.
Something like that, but with more, like, they look like us, though.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell they're human unless
right.
they tell
AI
you.
Or
yeah.
was that the one with Haley Joel Osment? And
right.
That kid,
yeah. And Jude Law.
I found one interesting VR game, actually. Hotshot. Have you ever heard of Hotshot?
Hotshot.
Well, I think it's Hotshot.
Movie,
it's like
yeah.
the movie.
I think it's Hotshot.
Part
two. Uh-huh. It was like maybe it's Shot Hot. I don't remember. Anyway, it's like it's been a game that's been on the Oculus. You have like these red. It's almost like in a Tron type world where you have these pixelated creatures coming after you, and you have to shoot at them. You can hit them on the head, knock their guns out of their hands, punch them in the face.
Is it coming to
It's coming to the
consoles?
PlayStation.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been on that. The... I didn't see it on on my list here, but I saw it on the...
Keep an eye out for
PlayStation,
sure.
like, the pre-show. There was a thing about it. And it's coming out this month, end of the month.
Okay. Oh, and that's pretty quick. Jeez.
Yeah, you'll be able to, like, well, you'll have, like, like waves of enemies coming at you, and you have to take them down, shoot them all in the heads, and you can, like, duck out of the way. You can knock their bullets out of the way. You can slow down time and knock their bullets out of the air as they're coming at you, and shoot them in the head or punch them and knock them
down. Sounds like Super Hot, but blown out.
That's it. It's Super Hot.
Oh, well. Jesus.
It's super hot.
Super hot, hot shots. They're close. Like, they're close.
I feel like same difference.
I feel like I'm an idiot. I latched onto the hot shots thing. I'm like, it sounds like a
hockey game. Yeah, there you go.
It's super hot VR. And, yeah.
Okay. They're bringing it to Sony finally. Okay. Yeah. I saw that coming.
You'll be able to play it in VR.
I will enjoy that because I played the shit out of it on the Xbox. I never finished it. I should probably go back to that.
This will give you a whole new way to see the game, too.
Yeah, because I think they're like, based upon your head movement, so you got to be really aware of your body movement, and so if you turn your head a little bit, that counts as movement. So the bullets and stuff are gonna move. You got to like literally stop.
Uh-huh.
At least on the Xbox version, you can't be looking around. If you look around to see where everything is, stuff's moving, and then you're gonna get hit. It's like a puzzle game, but it's actively happening.
Uh-huh. Right.
And it's so cool, man. Like, you guys, if you haven't played it, check it out when it comes out on the PlayStation, or if you have an Xbox, check it out on there.
I'll put it in my
super cool. Cool,
it was,
man.
It was definitely a hit. As far as VR goes, it was definitely a hit on the
Oculus.
The
was it
Oculus and Vive? So
nice. I'm looking forward to that.
Should be fun.
It's like what, $15? I think it was $15 or $20. On the
Xbox. If that's a great price, I hope it's that price. I have no idea.
I can see it being $20.
Like, we added VR, it's $30. No, I have no idea.
Probably
it'll show up pretty soon, I guess. So I guess we'll find out.
I don't like that. Don't add $10.
Do we just add?
I just pulled that out of my ass. I'm not saying it's real. Okay. So.
Well, put it back in your ass then, please.
Okay, hold on.
On that note, I think we're almost about out of time. And any other games you guys wanted to toss out there before we wrap it up?
One thing. Hold on. I'm looking for it. Bethesda, The Evil Within 2.
I knew you were going to bring it up at some point. I forgot to bring it back up for you, though, because you finished the first one, right?
Yeah.
Because we talked about it when you weren't here for a second, but we wanted to save it for you.
That was one sick-ass game. I loved it. I'm looking forward to the new one.
I didn't get through all of it. I think I played maybe 25% of it, and I kind of stopped. Something else got my attention. But
well, I got stuck for a little while in that Spider Woman thing. But,
Spider Woman. How far in was she?
She was the one you're like, oh, I got past her. And I was like, I can't get past her.
Was she in the
game? That's because you're old, Joe. And
was she
Joe
early in the game?
Is she the one that follows you all the time?
Yeah, she follows you all the time. And there was like this one last area where you had the final confrontation with her.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to like shoot these things and the fire would come out and it would burn her, and then you had to like fill her with like a shit ton of lead in order to kill her, and I finally got it. I was running out of all my bullets and I was hitting her.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was like a glitch and they fixed it with a patch because she just wouldn't die. So then I went back and I fought her again, and it wasn't doing it on all PlayStations, but it happened on mine, so I'm going to say it was a glitch.
Alright, we'll give
not
you a pass.
My ineptitude.
Your pass has been granted, sir.
It may have been my ineptitude, but I killed her and went on to beat the game. That was like the hardest boss in the game for me because of the difficulty killing her for some reason.
Oh, one last thing. Sorry. We didn't talk about Bloodborne 2.
What is that?
Bloodborne 2, baby.
I didn't see
Bloodborne
anything about that one.
Was a PlayStation exclusive. It's basically like... God dang
it's
it.
Like
Dark Souls,
Demon Souls
type game, but it's a little faster, a little more
Neo
fast-paced.
With sarcasm.
Like Neo, you know what it is.
It was sarcasm.
You bastard.
Yeah.
I'm all like, yeah, let me tell you about it, buddy.
It's $17 now.
Look at my laptop. Come see. But yeah, Bloodborne 2 should be awesome. They didn't have it at the show. They did bring it up on some other shows afterwards, you know, IGN and all that stuff. But keep your eyes out for that. That should be good. If you don't mind a game that challenges you and then rewards you heavily after you pass it. And like I said before, with like those Dark Souls games, it makes you want to punch yourself in the dick. And then you're like over and over. And then finally you pass something. You're like, yes. And since you were so mad a minute ago because you kept dying, now you're like, okay, I want to see what happens next. And then you start playing again. It's such like...
And then you want to punch yourself in the dick again.
It's such a... Yeah, it's such a wash and repeat Game of Thrones. Like,
sounds
I,
like a
I hate this
it's
game,
a penna, it's
but
a
now
punish,
I love this game.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. Yeah, because it gives you the sense of accomplishment because you actually... It's like, it's tough, but you can beat it, and when you beat it, you feel like, wow, I did that.
Yeah.
Take and that's what makes you want to keep playing, because you're like, I can overcome these obstacles. I can
and
do
then
it.
And you can't.
Yeah, you just got to be really methodical about stuff and just be prepared. And it's not a hack and slash where you just run up to people and just smack them and stuff. You got to think about what you're doing, time your hits and stuff. So if you don't mind that kind of thing, a meticulous game like that, to some degree, I think you'll really enjoy it. Neil was a lot of fun like that too. But yeah, if you don't have the patience for it, it's going to piss you off. But
yeah, I like Neo, what I've played of it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I know we jumped around a lot, but fuck, it's a lot of E3, and we're not reporters. We're not in the industry. We're just guys who love games. So, if you want that stuff, there's other venues for that. So,
oh, Destiny 2. Well, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Looks like it has a story this time.
I mean, there you go. That's all you can ask for.
Always.
It needed it before.
Yes,
always
they did.
Forever.
They didn't know what they were doing.
Sure. Are you going to sing a song?
Each moment with you.
Yep, that's our cue right there. So, yeah, if you wanted to reach out to us and, you know, leave us a email question or anything like that, or just write into the show and tell us that we're doing a good job or anything like that, hit up glitchtherapy@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to read your question or comment on the show if you want to go that route. Otherwise, we definitely appreciate any support you want to give to the show just by listening to us. You're supporting us. We appreciate that. You can head on over to patreon.com/glitchtherapy. If you'd like to do any kind of monetary support, for as little as $1 a month, you can gain access to bonus content with our bonus show, Final Round, where we talk more about, you know, all the stuff that we love with video games and nerd culture and all that stuff. So check it out. You can also do a one-time donation if you ever want to do that to help out the show, keep the lights on, keep us, putting new stuff out there for you as far as contests, stickers, and all that stuff. We have that stuff coming here soon, hopefully, so we'll get that going too. Please subscribe, rate, and review. It's super important, and if you've been listening all this time, you haven't done any of those things, shame on you. Get to it. Check it out on your favorite podcast app, and you know, give us a review. Subscribe to us. So we'd love it if you can do that for us. It takes only a moment of your time. Other than that, check out other shows on our network, Nerd Church Radio, where we're talking about DC Comics and character discussions. That's Noah and Ben and a lot of other guys on that show. Check them out. They have an awesome time, super knowledgeable, and they're talking about all kinds of fan fun with DC characters and comic books. So check them out. Also, give us a shout on Indie Comic Ninja. We're talking about indie comic books on there and having a good time. That's Ben and myself on there. Ariel pops in there sometimes too, along with Dexter. Last but least, I mean, social media, guys, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Xbox and on PSN under Scorpio 1969, and that's Scorpio 1969. Also, I'm on Twitter under Joel Gao 1.
Nice pause.
Yeah, and if you want a game with me, I'm on the PlayStation Network, Scorpio _ Inc., and spell Scorpio with a K.
If you want to stalk me on Instagram and Twitter, I'm Hipstermade.
No one's stalking you because you don't know your own like stuff.
It's I'm Hipstermade. Stalk me. And I'll be on the Xbox and PlayStation at It's Your Senpai. Shut up.
Yay. I got some stickers for you in the car when we're done.
Are they stars?
Maybe.
I like stars.
You need a sticker after that. If you want to find me, obviously hit me up on Instagram and Twitter at Nerdy Romando. If you want to follow the show, the same thing, Instagram and Twitter at Glitch Therapy. Gamer tag for Xbox Live and PlayStation Network is Dirty Dimes. So check us out, follow us, play some games with us or something like that. Get on some Friday the 13th so we can kill you, or you can kill us. But I'm going to run away with my short booty shorts. Yeah.
Watch Romando run in booty shorts.
Not me directly, no.
Cut off jeans.
That's our show, guys.
Listening to Katy Perry.
I'll have a little whale tail.
California Girls.
Oh, you guys are terrible today. I will have my revenge. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Have a great week. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.
Game on.